The Big Breakfast Catch-Up is brought to you by the great gas deals at Alinta Energy.
Hi, this is Claire, Matt and Kimbo. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast.
This is our Friends of the Show catch-up podcast with our favourite regulars.
Plus the special guests and celebs who hung out with us this week.
We had to send out an SOS. Everyone else has had their say on the footy. It's the Big Breakfast on Mix 94.5, 8:23.
Oh, what a beauty.
Talking footy with Dennis Kennedy.
Like a cork in the ocean over his head.
And up it's the tale of two Andrews at the Derby yesterday, Dennis Kennedy.
No brevity this morning, eh? I left my brevity at home.
Yeah. No, and people don't know because, Den, you are such a professional, they think that this just rolls off your head. But you do bring in notes every time you come in because you care about your job and you actually make an effort. But I've got to say, those notes are covered in a fair bit of liquid paper. Have your thoughts sort of transpired and evolved and changed over the last 24 hours?
Well, they do over the morning, yes. They come slowly, and then I read the paper, get phone calls, and change my opinion. So, this is a composite opinion that I bring in here.
Again, would Andrew Gaff like to have some correction fluid on life for those 4 seconds?
Oh, that's a very
beautiful
good question.
Segue.
Every chance he won't play again. Isn't there? I mean, he's not going to play again this season, I don't think. So much talk this morning about a coward's punch or what could happen to Andrew if he'd done that on the street.
Mm-hmm.
And they're legitimate questions, aren't they?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So I suppose the bottom line is good luck to Andrew Brayshaw. We wish him well. He won't play again this season.
True.
Now, the incident wasn't replayed on the giant screens at the stadium yesterday. That needs to change, I reckon.
Okay.
Nobody saw it at the ground. Had the Eagles fans been able to see what happened, I doubt they would have given Andrew a standing ovation as he came off the ground, which further inflamed the situation. It didn't help. So I don't know. Had it been the away team that did that, perhaps it inflames the situation the other way. It's one of those calls you make at the moment, but I'm not sure which way you could make a policy of that, if that makes sense.
Was the ovation for Andrew Gaff after he'd been roughed up a bit by Michael Johnson and co? Was that after that?
No, before then. He came off and went back on. And there's a question mark over whether he should have gone back on as well, I think.
Yeah,
I mean, that, again, sort of didn't seem to achieve very much, simply because the game was won. And I know they were a couple short on the bench, so maybe that played into it too.
Yeah,
so a lot of factors going around. But the bottom line is bad news as far as the West Coast Eagles are concerned. I think in the one day we may have seen a premiership and a Brownlow medal disappear before our eyes in one hit.
Yes.
Excuse the pun.
Is that important to their chances, you think?
Oh, he's had a great season.
Yeah.
Terrific
yeah.
player. And most out of character. People say that all the time, but that's no excuse, is it?
No. Not for not, well,
there was no
happened?
Provocation. No. There seemed to be no provocation or little provocation.
And even if it was provoked, you just don't do that.
No,
it's not
don't.
Appropriate.
No. So that's what I've got to say on it. But really, I didn't take a hard line, did I? I don't think
No, it was good. You're quite honest and open.
We all sort of feel the same.
I like him.
He's a good man.
And I've never met Andrew Brayshaw, but I'm sure he's terrific too. Of course, there's a Brayshaw at the West Coast Eagles.
There is.
Yeah, Hamish.
True.
So that's all very complicated. But that's life. That's the way life is. Not the first time I've seen that happen on a football field. And I dare say it won't be the last.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, when you look at people like, say, Barry Hall, for example, and we know that he did his penalty at the time, all those things, but that sort of stains the rest of your career. And
absolutely.
Unfortunately, that Gaffey's could be painted with that brush, and that's a sad fact when you've normally got a great player who doesn't, you know, never been suspended before, doesn't have a history of that kind of biffo. He's not that guy.
Well, I was saying when I came in, he would have been the 44th player, I think I would have said, would do that on the ground
out of those
yesterday.
Two teams. Yeah.
Yes.
Perhaps the 43rd or 41st in a tie with Lachie Neale.
Yeah.
I mean, there's another guy that you don't think has that in his DNA, but maybe they all do. Maybe they get him on a bad day and say something or do something, a little niggle, and suddenly it explodes. But, it wasn't a good day for footy.
No.
And the Eagles fans, I think, because of not having the information, probably sent a bad message as well. Not their fault, but that's policy at the stadium, as I gather.
It should be on the screen,
Guess we're all capable of all things, aren't we? Did we learn anything new from the actual game itself?
That Fremantle aren't very good, although they fired up, and they had to do that. They had to respond simply because of all that was going on around them. The West Coast Eagles now have a job in front of them, although they've got a handy lead in terms on the premiership table. A game and a half, but a couple of tough games. Their last game is against Brisbane at the Gabba. That seems to be the weakest opposition.
True.
But I'm not sure that's a gimme anymore.
No. Mm.
They've played some good football this year. So, it's a state of flux as far as the West Coast Eagles are concerned, I think.
And so who have the Eagles got out now for this coming forward? Is JK still out?
Yeah, he's still out at the moment.
Gaffey's out.
Yeah, so, it's... Well, they're in a good spot, but it's tricky.
Yeah, and then you've got that, so many sides just below them, but GWS having that win and having also the draw through it during the year, so they're that half-game difference to
the other teams.
So it is interesting at the top.
And even if you get a home final, if Kennedy and Gaff aren't playing, that's not a gimme either.
No, true. Okay. True. So, it gets the top time.
That's the situation. It'll work itself out this week, I'm sure, and next week my paperwork will be tidier.
Oh, beautiful.
And we can just breeze through as we normally do.
Your mind races ahead, and you're thinking about 5 or 6 weeks missing a GF is a great cricket line. Did you just drop the World Cup? You start thinking of those kinds of things, don't you?
You do. Yeah. More controversy on Saturday too. That was a game, if we get away from what happened yesterday. Mm. Adelaide and Port Adelaide may have been the best game I've seen all year.
It's a beauty.
And controversy there as well. Mm. We would have been talking about this off the top had it not been for Gaff.
Yeah, true.
His gaff. Yep. That's the goal line technology. What did you make of that?
Yeah.
You would watch that, Claire, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. When the player thinks he's hit the post, and he's telling his teammate to stop celebrating, let's set up for a kick back in, then you're pretty sure it's probably hit the post and the technology let us down.
I reckon. Eddie Maguire perhaps has the best idea on this. If the ball brushes the post and goes through the goal, it's a goal.
Mm.
And if it hits the post and bounces back out, doesn't cross the goal line, it's a behind.
Okay.
So, mind you, goal umpires are very brave. I like what they do. I saw one get bowled over yesterday in an earlier game, and he didn't know what the heck had happened, so he got up and called for a replay, and therein lies the problem for Eddie.
True.
It goes full circle, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Imagine if it was cricket, going back to Josh Jenkins the other night. We'd be debating today, should he have walked across to the umpire and said, it hit the post.
And lose the game.
But this is not cricket.
No, it's just not cricket, Dan.
No.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I hope they haven't dropped the World Cup. Good to see you, Dan.
You too.
The Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber.
Time to talk to him. Out for a stoush with Lee Sales last night on 7:30. Big Mal, our beloved leader. Good morning, Big Mal.
If it's meant to be, it'll be. I love that song. It'll be. Good morning to you all in Perth and to everybody listening to Mix 94.5. It's tremendous to speak to you, and I hope that Perth is healing. I know there's been a rift created from the weekend derby, and I wish all parties the very best, of course.
Well, Prime Minister, look, I mean, we know there's only one Malcolm Turnbull. But
absolutely, Kimber Cale, as there's only one KC. of course, there's KC and the Sunshine.
Yeah, that's it, too, yeah.
But, Mr. Turnbull, are you aware that there are impersonators out there that are impersonating you?
Well, I am aware of that. Of course, people are going to try and emulate greatness at every turn to mirror my sartorial splendour, my gait, my magnificence, and, of course, the way that I speak, because I've got wonderful diction, I've got a wonderful vocabulary and great syntax, and I can articulate an idea. So, yes, Kimber, I'm aware that there's some charlatans out there passing themselves off as the great Malcolm Blair Turnbull.
Well, yes, Your Greatness. In fact, our sister station on the East Coast spoke to an impersonator yesterday and asked them this.
I'm a hard one to judge. I don't think it's a great impersonation, but obviously others do. Otherwise, he wouldn't get a gig anywhere.
Now, obviously, that speaking there is the Moon Man, comedian.
Lawrence Mooney, yeah.
Is he still around?
He is still around. He's on his last legs. His career's flaming out.
He's doing panto, we heard.
He's burned all of his bridges. Sad, sad case of wasted talent. And, of course, he's a bit of a lush. And as you can hear there, that impersonation, the man slurring slightly, as he, in a meta way, comments on the person he's actually impersonating, which is interesting stuff.
Yeah.
But that wasn't me.
No.
That is just the impersonator pretending to be me.
No, forget about those burnt out Essendon supporters. This is Big Mal with us this morning. And Big Mal, the impersonator, couldn't even pronounce Point Piper.
Could you say Point Piper for us, just to be how he does it?
Point Piper is how I would say it.
Well, listen to that laugh, too. It's not even my laugh. That's my laugh. And I don't always say Point Piper. Sometimes I say Up the Piper. Me and Luce live right up the Piper. This guy is really, he needs to do his homework.
Mm. He's not done his research at all. He claims that you don't even drink Sangiovese.
Do you drink Sangiovese, Prime Minister?
No, I don't.
What?
Well, of course I do. I love a Chianti Classico or any Italian red. But Sangiovese, it's not only a great grape to say, it's a great grape to drink, which is a bit of a tongue twister in and of itself.
I'm liking this guy less and less, sir. And he couldn't even pronounce kayak correctly.
I kayak, but I kayak almost always kayak by myself, actually. Lucy and I have a double which we go out on, but generally only on calm, fair days in summer. I paddle all year round in winter and summer.
He's not saying kayak.
No, he's not.
He's saying kayak.
Yeah.
Kayak. And it's not a kayak. It's a kayak. And that's what I enjoy doing.
Yeah.
I like getting out there. And Lucy and I do have a double. It's not the only double we have. I'm having that right now. But it's fun getting out there with Luce, paddling across the harbour and looking back at our Italianate palazzo in Point Harbour.
True.
Worth $50 million. But yes, that is a sad impersonation. And whoever's done that, Lawrence Mooney, the Moon Man, whatever his name is, he needs to really have a look at himself. Long, hard look.
It's just lazy comedy.
Yeah, it is.
It's lazy and it's stupid. He's nothing but a drunken dribbler.
Yeah, that's new material, we reckon.
You know, it's a lot of fun, actually, abusing yourself.
It certainly is.
Yeah.
I don't know what I mean by that, but... before I go, I'm sorry, I've crossed the comedy line.
Yep.
The audience is meant to be enjoying it more than I am.
You broke the wall, yep.
Yeah, I just want to say the Mix 94.5 rocks Armidale.
Hey!
One of the greatest fish and chip shops in Christendom. Get out there. You'll need a picnic to get there. It's miles away. But get out there and enjoy yourself.
Oh, big
and
mount.
The Perth, I want you to come together as one. Let's not create a rift and a deep division. But, of course, you people who barrack for the West Coast Eagles, terrible people. Hardly kidding. But up.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claresy, Matt and Kimber.
Welcome, Andy and Hamish.
Hey, thank you for saying Andy and Hamish. That's a really new thing.
We might just go to a song and come back and try it again properly.
Now, guys, you know, we've got a lot of stories out there. People are always spinning you a tale. But do you think the storytellers are throwing in any extra kind of details to fatten it up?
Look, there's acceptable detail that we would never turn the scrutiny up on.
Yeah, I mean, often Hamish and I ask a question that's so irrelevant to the story, but we don't know it yet because obviously we don't know the story at all when we sit down. And they go off on a tangent, and our producers go, I've never heard anything about this. There's a guy called Stephen, and we found out that he was a bum model.
He was a bum model.
Jeez.
I mean, he's a man in his 50s now, comfortably in his 50s, I would say.
Yep.
But he's talking about an incident that happened when he was 17, and he does let it slip that he was a model at the time, which gets us very excited. And then he tells us, well, you know, who were you modelling for in the 80s? And he says, I was a Jag Jeans bum model.
Yes, and that becomes a theme. That
we almost didn't want to hear the rest of his story.
No, that's the story.
We've been so long. I've never met a Jag Jeans bum model in my life. There were so many questions we had for him.
Now, guys, they say that everyone has a great story. You know, it's the story that you tell at dinner parties and they're like, oh, go on, tell that story again. But as any good stand-up comic will tell you, once it's been on telly, you can't do that material anymore.
True.
Are you ruining people's lives, killing their one good dinner story?
No, I think we just now, when people ask these people to tell the story, they've got the DVD and they go, well, let's go to the lounge room and I'll show you the professionally shot version.
Perfect.
Well, let me send you the link to Nine Now, the online platform for catch-up.
Hey, guys, I'm seeing these wonderful actors, acting out the stories and that. Are you now becoming a source of place where phone calls are coming in from actors going, look, I'm running out of car commercials. I'll get on the boys' show.
Yes. It's gone to our heads. There's a lot of like, look, you know, we're kingmakers. We can make or break careers.
Yeah. And we do have a scoop, actually. There is a dog that appears in episode 5 that has gone on to be the dog in The Wizard of Oz.
Kingmakers.
Oh, there you go.
So that's the power now.
Yeah.
Because it's well known. You guys know about showbiz. If you give someone 1.5 days work, you've completely made their career. if you give someone 8 lines and a quizzical look, that's the lead out on their show, really.
Tomorrow night's episode's got Essie Davies in it, of course.
Begging us for acting
coming,
work.
Coming straight off Game of Thrones, but we think that this is what will define her.
We sent a note to the Game of Thrones producers, DB Benitoff and David Wise, or whoever the guys are in the credits.
Sure,
we might have spelt their names wrong, but we just said, look, thanks for warming SE up. We'll take it from here. we've made a career.
It is a beautiful thing to watch, guys, and you know, haven't done radio for about a lifetime. I keep watching going, oh, they put the radio on the telly. I love this. This is so cool.
Just needed some pictures, it turns out.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, funny that. Yeah, and some good actors.
But you're spot on. That's kind of where it came from. So, yeah, well done, radio.
Hey, thanks, boys.
I mean, it's a lovely note to finish on, well done, radio. And I'll add, well done, radio, and obviously those who listen to it.
Precisely.
We've all done it, guys. We've all done it.
All we hear is Radio Gaga. Hey, thanks, boys. All the best. Thanks,
cheers, guys. Appreciate your time.
The Big Breakfast with Clazy, Matt and Kimber.
Guys, we know, you know, as we mentioned, so much has been said and documented and debated on social media about the Andy Brayshaw, Andrew Gaff situation on the weekend. We thought we'd catch up with someone who's not only a teammate of young Andy Brayshaw, but also lives with him. His name is Lockie Neal, our man from Fremantle. Firstly, Lock, welcome, mate. How are you?
Oh, yeah, not too bad, guys. Been better, obviously. But, yeah, I'm going okay.
It's a horrible week for football for everybody, really, isn't it? And, you know, we've been looking at it going, there's obviously all the sides to the story. But, Lockie, I mean, we're saying we know Gaffey and we don't think Gaffey would ever have done that intentionally, like actually tried to break someone's jaw. But have you ever found as a player that you've been on the field in the wrong place at the wrong time, or you might have thrown your body the wrong way and you've sort of had an accident and you've thought to yourself, gee, I'm glad it didn't become anything bigger than what it was?
Personally, probably not. On the field myself, I think there's been times like on the weekend where I had a bit of a collision with Liam Ryan after I handled the ball, and I don't think that was an intentional bump to get me high there. But yeah, I can't really comment on too much of what the actual incident itself, so we'll wait and see how that plays out tonight.
Well, fair enough, buddy. I mean, I guess we'd all like to know, how is young Andrew?
He's okay. He's obviously been better as well.
Yeah.
He came home last night, and I'd be lying if I said it wasn't a little bit distressing and upsetting to see him the way that he was.
Yes.
So that's where that is at the moment. He's in really good spirits. He's an incredibly tough kid, and I'm super proud of him, but it was tough seeing him like that, and I saw him after surgery on Sunday night as well, and it's pretty distressing and upsetting, as I said, but he's a really tough kid, and he'll get through it fine.
I would imagine, mate, with that jaw the way it is, and they're saying no solid food, so you got the soup, the smoothies, and the ice cream and jelly ready to go at your place?
Yeah, I think Jules made a big batch of soup, pumpkin soup, last night for him. So he was into that, and his mum's over at the moment as well. So I think she's preparing some food for him today as well. So he'll be able to get a bit in, which is good. But yeah, it's unfortunate. But as I said, Andy's a really tough kid, and he'll come out the other side, and he'll be a fantastic player for this footy club for a long time.
And Lockie, how's his family going? I mean, we know his mum was over, his parents were here to see the game, and obviously too because he's got a brother in the club at the Eagles, and so, you know, it's complicated, obviously, with the relationships, but how are the family going?
Yeah, they're really good. Deb's obviously had a little bit, a few scares in the past with Angus and his concussions and
absolutely,
whatnot.
So
she's with a fair bit, and she's held up really strongly. She's been fantastic, and as you would expect from her mother, she's been amazing to Andy. So she's keeping everything pretty positive.
Lockie, we understand you have to tread carefully when talking about specifics, but with this situation, obviously it's been the biggest story since it happened. We've seen opinion from writers, from people who've played the game, from people who haven't played the game. And I guess, you know, we're all wondering, well, how does it feel within, you know, the playing group, these sorts of things? Is it something that you consider just happens and you let the AFL deal with it, or does this feel slightly different?
Well, Andy's like a little brother to me. Obviously, he's lived with me for this year since basically Christmas. So he does feel like a little brother, and I'm pretty protective of him.
Sure.
So on the day it was, I didn't know at the time the severity of it and the damage that was caused.
Sure.
But, I think for me it's a little bit different. It's for the AFL to sort out and the tribunal and whatnot. But I'll never hold a massive grudge or anything, but my main concern is for Andy and making sure that him and his family are okay, because obviously his brothers as well, Hamish, he's in an awkward position as it's been mentioned. Angus is in Melbourne and his family were lucky enough to be over here, but I really feel for the family and for Andy as well.
Lachie Neal, our man from the Dockers, is with us right now. Mate, there was a lot of confusion at the ground as to what had happened. Did you see the incident? When was the first time that you and your fellow Dockers around you knew what had happened?
I saw it actually happen. I was on the bench at the time and about to come on, and I just so happened. When I'm on the bench, I do actually look for Andy a little bit and see how he's going out there and the patterns and whatnot that he's running. And I saw him just sort of checking Gaffey, and then I saw him go down. But from where I was, I couldn't really tell where he had been hit. But I knew pretty quickly that he wasn't getting up too quick. So I think I signalled to Jeff Boyle, our physio, and said, you've got to go out there because
he's in a bad way.
And Lockie, just briefly and finally, do you know if Andrew Gaff has called Andrew Brayshaw and had a chat?
I don't think they've spoken, but I think he's contacted via message and whatnot.
Sure.
So I think he has touched base.
There's bizarre circumstances when you think about it. The AFL will deal with what they deal with tonight, and you can just tell even he was so remorseful straight away on the bench that he will cop his whack and we move on. Hey, Lockie, really appreciate your time and your honesty from inside the club today, mate.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire'sy, Matt and Kimber.
Australia's favourite reality TV show, which is back. It's The Block, the new series. They're working on the Gatwick, which is taking a lot of work. And from the very first night with the stinky pillows and the dead rats you could see in the
ground. I could smell it when they walked in.
The work has begun, but also all of those lovey-dovey hugs and that on the very first night have sort of dissipated, haven't they? Very, very quickly, as people are starting to bitch already. But the WA couple, Hans and Courtney, don't call him Hans, is joining us this morning. G'day, guys, and welcome.
Great. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, awesome. Now, thank you.
You guys are the rookies. They say that about everybody, don't they? But I guess, have you really gone in saying, I don't know how to style anything more than a cushion?
Well, I've got zero styling experience, absolutely zero. So that's the truth.
I was going to say a cushion was, cushion.
That's what you get from Target. Cushion.
I've never even bought artwork, so I'm terrible.
And Hans?
Styling?
Yes.
No, have none. That'll become very evident.
And building?
I have none. That will become very evident.
You two were primed for this show, weren't you?
Oh, we were pumped.
So, obviously this is the first time we've got to see you face to face. Welcome. Tell me a little bit about yourselves.
Well, I'm a flight attendant.
Yep.
Fly internationally, been doing that just for over 10 years. So that has not prepared me whatsoever for what is about to happen on The Block. And Hans is a pilot.
Yeah.
With the same airline?
No. We are competitors.
Okay.
But did you meet in an airport? What was going on there?
No, not that cliche.
Right, okay. Yeah, it sounds cliche.
I wasn't serving him coffee in the flight deck or anything like that. No, just a mutual friend introduced us. So, it was not love at first sight. I did not like that whole cliche, pilot. Flight attendant.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, but you know what? Worked out wonderfully.
Oh, should put you on a dating show, you too.
Yeah.
I want to go back just a few nights, of course, to the opening night of the show, and you guys all met outside. How weird is that, especially when 6'4" netballers walk down the street? And you're meeting each of the other teams you have never met before, correct?
Correct. We'd never met them, and it was, really daunting. But so far, everyone seems really nice and really, smiley and pretty down to earth just from, first impressions.
Oh, they'll turn. Don't worry about that.
There's so much production and stuff around you as well. And so you're meeting these people for the first time, but you're like, everybody's watching. What do I say? Every move. And I think at one stage, I actually had my hands just up in the air going, I don't actually know where to put them because everything is really awkward. But everyone seems lovely.
I lived in Melbourne for many, many years in St Kilda, and I know the Gatwick very well. It is an incredibly iconic building in Melbourne. What were your first impressions of it?
How big it was.
Mm.
It's a massive building. It's huge. The insides, though, I mean, you saw it. It was pretty horrendous.
Yeah.
It smelled. The ceiling was just caving in, and we got to sleep there.
Yes, that's right.
Having to live in it while you're renovating it is pretty disgusting.
Yeah, it was terrible. But we did some research before we went on the show and learn a little bit about the history, and very iconic. We're very lucky to be chosen for this season to really bring this beautiful building back to life.
So you knew all the potential ghosts by name.
Well, that was my biggest fear going into the show, living in that building with all that history and ghosts and all these crazy things might be happening. So I went in really prepared. I had my sage, I had holy water.
Of course.
100%. I was like, I'm not going to.
That was just for Scotty.
Holy water in a Mount Franklin bottle.
I did actually had holy water in a water bottle.
Oh,
I'd like to say I'm not so susceptible to these things, but I had no bad feelings or anything when you walked in.
You
sort of expect to be, it might be a bit spooky, it might be a bit freaky at night because it's just pitch black and you've got this little camping lantern walking around and it's throwing shadows everywhere. You're like, hang on a minute, this is actually pretty cool.
Okay,
So
like an adventure.
Great adventure.
Well, all the best, guys. It's just a fascinating process. The last thing in the world that we'd want to do, but you've got the guts to go and do it. So well done.
Thank you.
Good luck on the block on nine.
Yeah, watch our roller coaster.
Yeah, we'll talk to you throughout the season.
Thanks, guys. Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix
94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber. The legend of publishing, broadcasting and Aussie icon Ita Buttrose is on the line about to have a chat with us.
What a lady.
This is pretty cool, isn't it, when you think about it. She wanted to talk about poo this morning because 17,000 Aussies are diagnosed with bowel cancer each year.
Mm-hmm.
Get to 50, get your test and get it done. Don't put it away. Of course, she is the patron of the Jodie Lee Foundation on top of everything else. Ita Buttrose, welcome.
Good morning.
Ita, you are a very classy lady. And so I never thought that I would share a conversation with you about poo.
Hang on.
But let's talk poo. It's important, isn't it?
It is. It is. I've become the patron of the Jodie Lee Foundation, which is a foundation that was set up in honour of Jodie Lee, who died of bowel cancer when she was 41. And it's we try to raise awareness of bowel cancer, about the prevalence of it in our country. We have one of the highest rates of bowel cancer in the world. And 90% of bowel cancers can be successfully treated if detected early.
Mm.
However, they are not detected early in Australia by enough people. Fewer than 40% are detected at an early stage, you know, when you can remove the incidence of bowel cancer altogether.
Mm.
But the reason it's not being picked up is because people say they're too busy to do the free bowel cancer screening kit test that is sent to all Australians once they turn 50.
Yeah.
Can that be true, Ita, or is it this sort of, I don't know, Anglo-Saxon fear of all things bodily, that people just don't want to address things like poo?
Well, there's a lot more of a story. We're not all Anglo-Saxon.
Sure, I understand.
That could be part of it. Yes, I think that is the reason. You know, it doesn't matter really where we all come from. There's a reluctance because we are talking about poo. And yet, you know, if we take dog for a walk, we get the doggy bag out, we pick up the poo, we don't think about it. When we have babies, when we have children, we wipe their pooey little bottoms quite a lot without thinking about it. And yet when it comes to our own poo, we're reluctant to test it. And yet it's a simple test. You do it in the privacy of your own house. Nobody knows about it. It's just you. On two consecutive days, you take a sample of your stool, put it in a little sealed bag, send it off to the address that's given in the kit. And if you've got a problem, you'll hear from your doctor. If you don't, well, then you don't.
I think with our health, we end up in a position where we kind of just adapt quickly. So suddenly, you know, there was a moment where you go, I feel a bit bloated, or and you just think, I've just had too much pasta, or I've eaten too much or whatever. And we just sort of don't take it seriously when it happens long term.
Well, if it, you know, any change in your bowel movement should be a signal. If it, and certainly if they lasted for, say 3 weeks, you should go off and see your GP. If you get any bleeding from your bottom or any blood in your bowel movements, again, you should go and see your GP.
Absolutely. And Ida, I take your point that this is across all cultures, but is there any specific reason that we know of why Australia has such a high rate of bowel cancer? Is it our diet?
It could be. Mm. I mean, certainly that would be a factor in it. Lifestyle diet, if you have a diet that's high in saturated fats and processed meat, yes, that's an indicator. You know, of course you've got to eat meat, but, you know, you've got to be careful how much you eat. If you smoke, you shouldn't. You should limit your alcohol intake to what's recommended. You should try and have a healthy weight. and you should exercise. If people could just get up and walk around, take 30 minutes of brisk walking, that would just be so good for everybody.
Oh, yeah, daily constitutional. Yeah.
Yeah, nothing that gets the bowels moving, in my humble opinion, is a good walk.
Got to keep moving. Hey, before you go, Ito, I want to know, in this age of high-definition TV, I popped on the telly the other day and you were there looking $1 million. Now, every year we do the annual telethon here on Channel 7 and we look to, well, I look $2.50. What's your secret? What's your secret, girl?
Well, I certainly think I inherited some good genes from my parents, so I'm very grateful to both of them. But I do practice what I preach. I do exercise every day, and I do watch what I eat, and I try and keep my weight at a healthy level, and I think it seems to work for me.
Well, you've given great advice today, Ita, and you know, if we can talk about poo with Ita Buttrose, then everyone should be able to talk about poo with anyone.
Hear, hear. Yeah,
that is correct.
Yeah, your partner, whoever it might be. Hey, thanks, Ita. All the best. Take care.
Thank you.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for Brekkie.
We're talking, of course, this week about Homelessness Week, and a couple of representatives, a couple of our friends from Perth Homelessness Support Group, Ron and Michael, are joining us this morning. G'day, gentlemen. Good
morning.
To see you.
Good morning. Hello, good to have you.
Now, we know it's really important to talk about homelessness because we are really fortunate and we're very aware that homelessness has changed. You know, there would have been a stigma many years ago where everyone thought it was just drug issues or mental health or people running away from home. And now we see that with people losing their jobs and things like that, that it can happen to any of us. We go from thinking we've got this huge support network to actually possibly being on the streets. You guys do a great job and you actually go out and meet people on the streets and humanise them, get to know them, learn about their lives. What are you finding they need the most of right now?
Well, I think the one thing we've found that meeting someone face-to-face, it actually humanises the face of homelessness.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people see the problem, but they don't actually know what to do about it, so they're scared.
Yes. Yep.
So I think lining up with people and actually looking in their eyes and telling them it's going to be okay is, offering them some food and then offering them some advice and actually listening to their stories. Sometimes they don't want to talk about it, but many times if you go and meet somebody, rather than being scared with them, just go up and say hi.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying hi is going to be the doorway. You know, your hi could be the very thing that would prevent them from actually committing suicide, doing something really stupid.
Yeah.
Because most of them, their network of family, friends, have been cut off.
Right. Yeah.
You know, the last straw. I mean, we've all got that friend that we've had enough of, and you kind of go, well, look, I'm going to be there, but I don't want to hear any more. Well, these guys have suffered this type of thing over months, years.
They can be cut loose.
Long term.
Yeah.
Michael, it can happen very quickly. People can slip into homelessness very quickly. And is dignity as important as everything else, all of the tangible things like food and shelter?
Well, I think so, yes. It's a hard thing for them to maintain a positive outlook on life because it takes away choices, you could say.
Like sure.
All of us have got choices. We've got nice warm homes and we've got family. But these people, they're down to the rock bottom. They've fallen through the cracks and that's it. They're in homelessness. Once that day arrives that they walk out the door, close the door behind them, and that's it. That if they're in the streets.
Yep.
And of course, they feel alone, frightened, not knowing what to do next. And there is what you would call a community of homeless people out there. I think because we gather them all together, they've all got to know each other quite well. And there is a fairly strong support system there. Sometimes we'll have a person who'll lose the plot, if you like.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They'll crack.
Yep.
And our volunteers all run to try and calm them down. And I'm like, no, step back. This is when we can hear what's really going on for them, and if we hear something from them and we can make a difference, then we'll step in and do it.
Mm. And Ron, you were telling us a story off air about that sense of community, that they've been there for each other, and someone who's been able to turn their life around due to the help from you guys in the community.
Correct. Yeah. Look, there's so many support systems during the week, but when the weekends fall down, you get to actually humanise the person, and they'll actually get to trust you. So we remember 4 years ago, the early days, we had a lot of young people on the street, and a lot of the young people actually community together.
Mm-hmm.
So over that period of time, we got to know a couple of them. Wonderful success story is one of them actually ended up leaving Perth, was able to get out of Perth in a wonderful relationship, had a little baby. And then they decided that they were going to pay forward to another one of the street people we knew, young person. And so they actually were able to pay for a flight, and this person was able to fly out of Perth and is now living safe off the street. Now, this person was on the street from around 14. So, you know, the success story of being able to humanise someone and getting them to trust you, allow them to go to other services, because there's lots of services during the week. It's the weekends where it falls down. So this kind of community centre allows for them to see what they would call normal people living in houses, coming out and actually offering their time. We have a lot of respect for them, and they have a lot of respect back to us.
Mm.
So if you can actually look at someone and talk to them just like I'm doing to you now, they're going to have much more respect in looking and say, oh, you poor thing, you want a sandwich.
I don't want pity.
Yeah. Sure.
No, they're more likely to throw the sandwich back at you. You know, people don't want charity. They want life. They want love. They want communication. And that's what our mission statement is, see the need and make a difference without prejudice. So it doesn't matter who you are. You don't have to look like you're on the last leg, because we admire the people that come up and they'll just say, hey, thank you so much for that sleeping bag. I had a really nice dry night. Or, hey, thank you for the communication about going to the services that are available. I bit the bullet. I went and saw the service. I'm now off the street. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Great.
You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So people who are wondering, gentlemen, how they can help, even if it's in a small way, what can they do?
Well, I think the very first place for you to start is to go to our Facebook group, Perth Homeless Support Group.
Yep.
Facebook is kind of our landlord with all of our groups. We also have another group that is associated with the Perth Homeless Support Group called PHSG Walks. If you join that group, that's where you can find out how to volunteer, how to literally get involved physically. We have another one called Perth Homeless PHSG Depot, which is because we now have our own space to store everything. You can go to there and you can discuss donations. Cash, of course, is always a much help. We convert that into items. All that information is available on Perth Homeless Support Group.
And I think that's the important thing. You guys know what they need. And so if you're out there and you want to donate and there's something you want to give and you don't know whether it's your time or your money or whatever you have, if you have the things, then please get in touch with these guys because they know what the people on the street are looking for.
Yes.
And, you know, it's not that helpful to just rock up with something that they don't need.
Well, that's right.
You have to consider what they can carry.
Of course.
Yeah. So small items. Nothing too heavy. Yeah.
We have an events page as well. The event page is kind of like our little cash cow. So you can go on to events.
Sure.
We have a great event there at the depot this weekend. If you like succulent plants, they're actually having a succulent plant
sale this weekend
at the depot. So you can check out our depot. It's 28A in Munt Street in Bayswater.
There you go. You have Kimber there. You can see succulents.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, they've a wonderful couple have actually decided they donated all this. They do this. They look for a charity to do it. They've just happened to choose Perth Homeless Support Group.
Brilliant.
So it's going to be held there on Saturday morning for between 10 o'clock and 2, I believe. The phone number is...
In case people aren't writing it down, we'll just say go to the Perth Homeless Support Group.
Correct.
Call us here at Mix if you need any more information.
We'll put all of the details up on our website as well.
We'll put
everything up because we would love everyone to do what they can. And as we said, people are lost and don't know how to help, and this is the way.
So. Absolutely. Hey, thanks, gentlemen.
Thank you very much, guys. Thank you for having us.
Breakfast with the Lot. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Mum is the word.
It's just not the same in here without it. Janelle Koenig.
Oh, that's very charming, Clancy. Very charming indeed.
Just off the top of my head.
Now, what is not off the top of my head, something that's very pressing and conscious for me as a mum at the moment, is the impending Father's Day.
Right. Oh, yes.
Yep. Sure.
The impending Father's Day, because it's a couple of weeks now, so the time is narrowing in which we can organise a gift, because I like to give a gift that's a little bit left of centre.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He has enough links, Africa.
Yes, sure.
Okay.
Yes.
Plenty.
You can't control yourself, when he's wearing that?
No.
Put a bit of Toto on and get on with it.
Wild animal.
I felt the reins come all right. And I have decided to compile a list of some possible ideas for the people out there buying Father's Day presents for the fathers in their lives.
Oh, sure. Great.
Yeah, because you want something that's a bit unusual.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I thought maybe you could get a trip to Rottnest, the ticket.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Because kids can actually travel free at the moment. You can get a Quokka passport and the kids can go free. And it's a day. It's a day, it's a family day with dad. Maybe mum can stay home. A voucher for one of those old school barbershop shaves.
Oh, yeah, nice. Okay.
That's actually lovely. Yeah.
Phil's never done that, and I think he'd really enjoy that. Cause it's good. I don't think he'd go and get his nails done.
Right.
But it's a kind of pampering.
Barbershop, like we're
talking about. Hot towels.
Yeah, yeah.
And cutthroat razor.
Will it be the dude, the hipster-looking dude?
Sure.
Yeah, okay.
You know, big bang noises behind him, optional, with the cutthroat razor.
And a free beer.
Yeah. A board game. Always good.
Okay. Right.
Always good. My kids love playing Connect Four and Guess Who with their dad, and it's fun. It's fun,
nice.
Family
engaging.
Time.
Sure. Risk.
Yeah. Yes, it is always a risk.
Maybe not
any
squatter.
Game with Bill. A Zoom membership. The gift that keeps on giving.
Okay.
Because then you can go back literally any day of the year. You can go back 365 days and you get to go to the zoos in the other states.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah, you've got a zoo membership, which is great.
Great.
A musical instrument.
Okay.
It can just be a drum. But, you know, so many of our kids are learning instruments and it's nice for the dads to get involved as well.
Yeah.
If they are so inclined.
Sure.
But the gift that we got Phil for his birthday this year.
Yes.
I didn't choose. The kids chose because we went to Bunnings thinking that just get some kind of tool. I'm not talking about the staff.
No.
So much love. So much thought.
Some kind of tool.
Yeah.
And the kids actually went down another aisle of Bunnings and they found this amazing worm farm.
Oh, yeah.
Because Phil's a gardener type.
Oh, yeah.
So it's about the size of half a wine barrel.
Okay.
Is that, you get that idea?
Sure, yeah.
And they have had a ball putting that together because it's involved. It's outside. They're doing it. They're feeding the compost to the worms.
Yep.
And it's really involved. And then they get the worm juice. Literally, you juice the worms and you put that on your...
No, like, it's really good for your garden.
There's a tap and it comes out the bottom of the...
That doesn't make it any better. You try to explain it and like, make it sound worm less cruel by going, oh, it's just got this little tap. You just
that's not composed worms. It's their waste.
Okay. It's when you say it's worm secretions. Juice and it's made out of worms, that means it's made out of worms. I'm seeing worms go through a meat grinder.
Oh. It's what in in Germany they call a good Saturday night.
But it has been the gift that keeps on giving. Phil loved it. The kids love it. They're involved and they keep playing with it or, you know, contributing to it.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And if they're ever bored, all they've got to do is name those 1,000 worms.
Perfect.
The Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber.
Sold over 30 million albums and written 50 hits for himself and other people. In the music industry. His name is Richard Marks. He's coming to Perth. The boy from Illinois is going to be here at the Astor November 22. Can't wait to see you, bud.
I can't wait.
Now, Richard, I've always thought that musicians who can write a good love ballad are under more pressure to write love songs for girlfriends, or it's expected of them at least. How many songs have you actually penned for a particular person?
Wow, I don't think I've ever been asked that question before, and you're absolutely right in that, especially when you've written famous love songs, the pressure mounts. There is a certain level of expectation, I think. And the answer is that that's always been my muse. You know, I started writing songs in high school for girls to try to get their attention. You know, help me out. And I've written songs for several women in my life. And now, of course, my main muse is my wife, Daisy. And I've written 7 or 8 songs, you know, that are just about different aspects of our relationship and different things that I'd love to, that I wanted to communicate to her. I'm like every other guy in that I can't say those things.
Ah, no.
I can write them in lyrics, but I could never just, say that. You look like an idiot.
You don't want the eye contact. Hey, mate, the numbers are incredible. I don't know if you ever spend much time looking at them, but the 50 top 40 hits, 14 number ones. What's going on? Are you in competition with that master songwriter, Diane Warren? Is it a contest between you two?
I would lose in a heartbeat. You know, Diane has just had such an incredible career, and we actually met around the same time we were both starting out, and I run into her from time to time. She's had an incredible career. You know, the one thing I'm extra grateful for is that I've had two careers. I've had and continue to have a career as a songwriter for other people and writing songs with other artists, for other artists, producing other artists. It's never boring. And then there's the career as the performer and the recording artist that is a totally separate animal. So I'm a very lucky guy. You know, I've never had time to get bored, that's for sure.
And, mate, one of the wonderful things about a long and successful career like yours is that you're given permission to have fun without it diminishing what you've done, your body of work. And we see you here on some ads for hotels combined, and they're very funny. And I'm thinking about like people like Michael Bolton with the Valentine's Day special. Do you enjoy doing things like that? Is there a cheeky, I can tell you got a great sense of humor, but a cheeky, naughty side to you as well?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'd like to say that there always has been, and that would be true, but it is really very much along the lines of what you were, the premise of your question. The older you get and the more experience you have, the more longevity you have, I think that really does feed into a sense of, I just want to have fun. Mm. I just want to enjoy whatever I'm doing. And when these opportunities come around, like the Hotels Combined or... You know, I did a rap battle against Kenny G.
That's great.
And I lost. I'm the guy who lost a rap battle to Kenny G.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing you here, mate. No doubt you get to catch up with your old mate, John Farnham, one of the most famous musicians to ever come out of this country.
And one of the most talented ever to sing a note. It's going to be really fun. I can't wait to play those winery shows. And as soon as that came up, the rest of my tour, my own solo tour around it, fell into place, and here I come again. I get to come back to this place that I absolutely love to visit. My wife, had never been to Australia until my last tour there a couple of years ago, so she's now in love with it.
Yeah,
and we're just going to come and have a blast and hang out, and I can't wait.
Look out, here come Richard and Daisy. It's going to be a good time. We look forward to seeing you, man.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
This will fill you up. Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber.
In recent weeks in our city, we've had Katy Perry, Pink on tour. Now it's the Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull. Not quite swinging from the silks there at Perth Arena, but he's on tour from the West. The Prime Minister, good morning.
Good morning. Good to be here.
What's the first thing on the agenda? Sharks. You've bought into our shark debate. Do you sometimes feel in your job that, God, you deal with it?
I get asked about everything, but I do think we should put people before sharks. And I think the offer that Josh Frydenberg made to arrange for a trial of smart drum lines here was, why not try it?
Sure.
It's worked well in New South Wales and elsewhere.
Is it really what you call a standoff? Is there a bit of Sharknado going on between the West and Canberra?
I don't think it's. No, I think it's a. I think, look, it's a state. It's a state government issue. Josh was offering to help, and I think that's. I was asked about it, so I'd give it a go. As I say, people before sharks.
Yeah, the drum lines seems to be the way that people are
well,
sort of heading
well,
in that direction.
They work well in New South Wales, it's a humane. Way of discouraging sharks from beaches where there are lots of people.
Yeah, sounds good.
Who don't like being bitten by sharks?
No, we don't.
True that.
No. Worse, yeah.
Well, speaking of putting people first, now the drought is obviously causing real distress around the country, and people are concerned that the drought funding from the government is not on par with the type of funding that we're giving for foreign aid. Can you clarify what that gap is and how the farmers are being prioritised?
Well, they're completely unrelated. I mean, we have an ongoing foreign aid program, which is a very important part of our diplomacy. Among everything else, it's about $4 billion a year. It's about, it's about 0.8% of the budget. in fact, we have not increased a lot of. We've been criticised for not increasing it to higher levels. To be frank, in terms of support for farmers, I'm keenly aware of the issues. I've just speaking to a farmer from New South Wales on the way here. I'm staying very close to it. The whole government is. Luce and I are in the sheep and cattle business in the Upper Hunter, which is one of the worst hit parts of New South Wales. We've been through a lot of droughts, so I do understand. The issues, we've provided additional support for the farm household allowance for a family, an extra $12,000 a year there. You know, the New South Wales government has stepped up to provide freight subsidies in line with what they used to do. They'd stopped providing that for a period. We're also providing a lot of support for mental health services. We've also got some very important tax changes that we made. So farmers in good years are able to put money into a farm management deposit and not pay tax on it, and then in a tough year pull it out and bring it to account when, of course, they're they're likely to have losses, and so it'll be tax effective for them. There's about $6.6 billion farm management deposits now. There was just talking to a farmer this morning from Ardleithan, actually, in New South Wales, about the rules, the tax arrangements we have in place to enable people who make a profit by selling stock in a drought, when you have to sell, you might sell almost all of your stock, that you can spread that over, from a tax point of view, over 5 years, or you can roll that into the cost of buying stock when you restock after the rain comes. So look, but
it's just not quite the gift.
I've over the, just since I've been in WA in spare moments, I've been calling back people who've got in touch with me on social media or have come back through our office just to get the best understanding of how the drought's impacting farmers in different parts of the country. You know, look, you've got to be resilient in the bush. It is in Australia, it is a... It is, as the poet said, we're the land of droughts and flooding rains, and you've got to be resilient. But I think when you get a very, very, very harsh drought, and the one we have in New South Wales and Queensland is the worst since the 60s, then you're going to need to have some additional support, and that's what we're providing.
Yeah, especially when your livestock is starting to perish, and about 6 or 12 grand might make a difference to get some food.
Yeah, that's right. Well, the only thing I'd say is that, and I'm being objective here, livestock prices remain high by historic levels, and interest rates are historically low. So this was not the case in the 82-83 drought, for example, which was the first big drought I went through with Luce, and we destocked pretty much entirely, and then it rained. And, of course, it cost a lot to restock.
Yeah, yeah.
In the 06-07 drought, it had more experience, and we didn't destock, but we had stock on the road with drovers. We had, we did just about everything: hand feeding, adjustment, putting stock in the long. You know what the long paddock is? You know, that's in the New South Wales. They have the travelling stock routes.
Yep.
You know, which have been around, since the 1800s. And there are people who will, drovers who will take a mob of cattle, or sheep for that matter, and they'll just move quietly along those travelling stock routes. And there's, that's one way of managing a drought. But there's no grass anywhere in New South Wales.
It is tough. Now, absolutely.
Just moving on to WA.
But, hey, can I just say
sure,
a big
go
thank
for
you.
It.
I should say this. Mm. A big, big thank you to the generosity of Western Australians. You've seen. I was with a couple of butchers, independent butchers, with Steve Irons yesterday, who are going to have barbecues to raise money for the support farmers in the east. I was talking to a little girl called Maisie and her grandmother. Maisie's given her pocket money for 2 years.
Yes,
to support the farmers, $193, and
brilliant.
That's really generous. And of course, there's a lot of support from farmers too. Sending feed over east and so forth. There's a lot of love and support across the country. So thank you.
Our pleasure. We have a little competition we run at 7 a.m. and the winner today won $50, which she's going to donate to the farmers as well. So
that's good.
We're
it's
good
really
people
good
here in the west. You need
you
to look
are.
After us.
You are. Well,
that's why
deal
he's coming back
WA
with all the GST.
GST.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Did we say GST? Throw in GST.
Yeah.
Well, you said this week, Malcolm, that we can trust you.
You can.
Oh,
okay.
Great.
You absolutely can.
Awesome.
Yeah. And on your last visit here, it would be remiss of me to not mention, did you listen to the John Farnham CD that we bought you? Have you memorised some lyrics for
no,
us?
No, I haven't memorised any lyrics, and I didn't listen to the CD because, I don't play CDs. I listen to music. Is this an ad?
No,
I listen
fine.
To music on Spotify.
Okay,
basically.
Right.
Yeah.
Get out. What are you? How dare you come into a radio station and say you listen
you.
To Spotify?
No,
and that live chamber orchestra.
And other things, that's I guess the how you get your music nowadays on those streaming services in 2018.
Oh, they can run in tandem with radio with personality involved. It's all good.
Yeah. Well, that's right. That's right.
Malcolm, good to see you in the West once again. We'll see you again very soon.
Great to be with you. Thanks a lot.
Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Shut up! The boys on the radio!
He's an AFL superstar, a Doig medalist for Frio's Best and Fairest, and he's our man inside the Fremantle Dockers. It's Lucky Neil on Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast.
Tell you what, he's still sporting a great shiner. We have word, our mail is that he's at the club in Coburn down there, the Fremantle Docker himself, Lachie Neal. Are you okay, buddy? You playing on the weekend? What's going on?
Yeah, of course. I'll be playing this weekend. I'm a little bit sore, but as everyone is this time of year, it's getting late in the year, so a little bit banged up, but I'll be okay.
Yeah,
so,
how is that eye, mate, that shiner of yours?
Yeah, it's starting to come down. It was a little bit puffy earlier in the week, but... just a bit purple now, which suits the Fremantle colours.
Yeah.
So I'll be suiting the outfit this weekend for sure.
Lockie, I'm picturing you just covered in Denka rub, and it's an image that I like. Is that real?
Now I'm worried.
Denka rub. I haven't heard that for a long time.
Denka rub.
Does it still exist?
I don't.
Not at the elite level.
No, right. Okay. Okay. Yeah,
good smell though.
Moving on.
Now, Lockie, your housemate Andy Brayshaw's gone to Melbourne to be with his family. How do you guys regroup at the club after you've had a challenging week? Do you just get more focused on training, or does Ross try to lighten the mood with some fun stuff?
Yeah, it's been a little bit of both. We're obviously trying to work hard on the track still. So we've got a main session today where we'll work on some things that we need to improve, which is mainly our ball use at the moment. That's probably been the theme the last few weeks. So, but yeah, we've got to move on pretty quickly. We've got a game against Carlton on Sunday, and if we're not on, we've seen in the AFL that it only takes a little bit and teams can be beaten quite heavily, so we've got to move on and get ready to prepare for Carlton's best.
Yes, and I guess that playing the bottom side, which Carlton currently are, comes with its own pressure, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, for sure. It's a game that many people will expect us to win, and we expect to win as well, so... yeah, I suppose we've got to be ready for that. And to be honest, there's probably hasn't been too many games lately where we've gone in favourite. So we look forward to it.
Don't mess it up.
Yeah, mate, as if you're not already one of the old guys in the team, an eighth debutante, Sam Switkowski, what can you tell us about the 21-year-old?
He's just an extremely hard worker. He's a pressure forward. He kicks a fair few goals as well, which is handy. He's quite light frame but quick and can cover the ground. So... if Sam gets his chance this weekend, it'll be great for the footy club to debut, as you said, an eighth player, which is fantastic.
And just for Dockers fans concerned about some of their favourites, Stephen Hill and Joel Hamling back there, both injured again this week?
Yeah, I think Steve, a really minor quad, so they'll take no risks with him. And Joel didn't play last week, just with a bit of a calf, which is really similar. I think it's just... really minor, so hopefully we get those two back before the end of the year.
Be nice, mate. Good luck against the Blues at Optus on Sunday, bud.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
That Big Breakfast Catch-Up was brought to you by the great gas deals at Alinta Energy. The Big Breakfast with Claire Z, Matt and Kimber. Weekday mornings from 6 on Mix 94.5.